Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
Okay.
Muting.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Yudhachimincha, Tati, Serura, Alfikimo, Yudhachsadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagbenu Paharenu Nora Ufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehuta Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin. Barhem Taharen, Rachame Sitata, Tamid Gamlem, Betet Reish, Saditaf Gimel. Hasin Kadosh, Berov Tucha, Nael Adata, Et kufet tet nunayan. Yachid geye lamcha pene zokre kedushata yud gimolamed ezayan kuf. Shavatenu kabel ushmatziakatenu yodea talumot shin kufal. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim, V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, Notzeh Chesed L'Alafim, Notzeh Avon V'Pesha, V'Chata'a V'Nakei. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. The verse comes from Parasha Yitro, it's Pasuk 29, and we will start with the L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud Kud Shabar Yichu Ishkinte Bidhilu, Urhimu Udhilu, Udhilu Urhimu, Liakta L'Shem Yudhei Bavate, the Yehuda Shalim B'Shev Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah, Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kodanei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kodaneihu. Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Dekha Matar Tanenan Deku Shabarichu Komad Avad Le'ala Le'ala Wittata Kolai hu kishot biovada ikshot belei lach mila bialma divae barnash vedachya leya mineya ulanaga beya kalana dehakulu ovada ikshot inun wikolai sterich. The energy of our current year, 5780, has a revealed energy of compensation and a concealed energy of Shefa. The way we reveal the Shefa and connect it to the compensation is by studying a verse from the Tanakh that connects to both of these energies. Today we will be studying Isaiah chapter 32, verse 19. Uvarod, uvarad, beredet hayar, uvashifla tishpa hayir. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. We study one verse from the Tanakh that connects to this energy. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10.
Utamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shakhan. Tav willo yirgaz, od willo yosifu. Vene avla la anoto, ka asher barishoda.
We will now connect to the 72 names of God. The tool that we use is to say each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence.
Wahe wa yo la yo sayote alame mehe shi la la he aka aka heta hezayo alada la awa he hea yo zala me be he he re yo he kome. La awa kalayo, la wawa pehe la nulaha, yo 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 me la hey 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 wa, nuta hey hey a, yo re ta shi a hey, re yo yo awa me la ka be wa shi re, yo hey wa la hey hey ka wa ko me nuda. Anu yo he ame, re he ma a yo yo za, he 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 me yo ha, wa wa a, wa wa la yo la he, sa a la re yo, a shi la me yo he, wa he wa da nu yo, he he shi ame me, nu nu a nu yo ta, me be he pe wa yo. Nu me me yo yo la he 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 re he me ta re. Wa me be yo he he anu wa me he yo. Ta me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa. Re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me.
We will now connect to the 72 names revealed by the Tzaddikim.
Wa 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 yo 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 tsa be te a ame be be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta me he yo anu da la he wa me me a yo tsa la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo wa me du la nu me ha yo he yo me nu he 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 wa. Nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la re yo. A la me ta he, wa he shi ala me nu he a nu ata me la he pe ayo nu ko me yo re la he be he me ta re wa he be yo wa he ala wa me za yo ta he be me ka ko ala a he he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The Sadiqim who left this day, which is the 23rd day of Iyar, there are no Sadiqim who left the 23rd day of Iyar. There are Sadiqim who left the 24th day of Iyar, which is this Sunday night. Simcha HaKohen HaWorms, Rabbi Yitzhak Feigenbaum, Rabbi Benjamin Mendelssohn, Rabbi Akiva Moshe Gottlieb. These are the Sadiqim who left on the 24th day of Iyar. In the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we will say in a whisper. Our class today can be found on the unique astrological times link. That landing page is available underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage, or on mobile devices at the bottom of the page. When the unique Astrological Times landing page opens up, scroll down to the section regarding the study material for Lag BaOmer. And the last item is the Rainbow Day and Yom Yerushalayim preparation. That is our handout for today. We will start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu Le'afda L'shem Yudhe Bavate V'Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kononei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kononeihu. Does anybody know what happens on the 17th day of Cheshvan? And rather than let you unmute and go through that process, the 17th day of Cheshvan is the day the flood started. And at year 10 or so later, let's go through this. On the 27th day of the second month, which is the month of Iyar, Noah, his family, and all the animals that were with them left the ark. Exactly 1 lunar year and 10 days before, essentially 1 complete solar year, 365 days, the flood began on the 17th of the second month, the day before Lag BaOmer. When Noah, the animals, and his family went out from the ark, God made a covenant with all the animals and the people that there would never be again a flood of water to destroy life on earth.
Shavuot Day, a day that most people have never heard of, is always the 42nd day of the Omer. The day before Yom Yerushalayim. Other days that connect to the Rainbow Covenant include Shabbat Noah and Shabbat Behar. Both of those Shabbatot, both of those parashas, add information to the idea of Rainbow Day. We ask the question, why is the Rainbow Covenant important? And this message comes from a website called Jewcology. This site relates Jews and ecology. It has its own agenda, which may or may not be valid in the Kabbalah. I will let you decide. The Rainbow Covenant is a time to celebrate the diversity of life on Earth and to remember our role in God's covenant with all creation. It is a time to remember that the first covenant was not with human beings, but with all living creatures. It is a chance to reflect on the deep spiritual and religious meaning of diversity, of creation, and our role as part of creation, and our role as partners with Hashem. This, while we are in the midst of this coronavirus epidemic, pandemic, it is good to contemplate these relationships. We're living in a time where daily species are disappearing from the earth. We live in a time where people are suffering from the coronavirus. We live in a time when certain aspects of diversity are coming under scrutiny as people look at the effects of the virus on the various categories of humans that other humans spend time categorizing. All of this is something for contemplation. What is the message of the Rainbow Covenant? The Torah teaches that Hashem has promised never to flood the earth again. But that does not mean humanity can't flood the earth and harm life. We live in a time when many species have gone extinct or are threatened with extinction. Our civilization is using so much of the world's land and resources that we don't always leave room for the other creatures. And the climate is changing. As the African American spiritual goes, God gave Noah the rainbow sign, no more water, the fire next time. The story of Noah and the flood teaches us that we have a responsibility to care for all creation and all creatures, and that caring for all species is a mark of righteousness. The rainbow teaches about the unity of all life. This is an essay by Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. For is the rainbow anything else but the one pure, complete ray of light, broken up into seven degrees of seven colors, from the red rays nearest to the light, the violet, the chelet, most distant from the light, losing itself into the darkness, and from the one to the other, are they not all rays of light? And combined all together, do they not form the one complete, pure white ray? Could not this perhaps be meant to say, the whole manifold variety of all living creatures, from the most alive, Adam, the Adam, the red one, man, nearest to the godly, down to the lowest, the humblest form of life and the humblest worm. Every living soul that is in all flesh, God unites them all together in one common bond of peace, all fragments of one life, all refracted rays of the one Spirit of God, that even the lowest, darkest, most distant one is still a child of the lights. As you contemplate this paragraph, please also contemplate a simple question. Does an ant have a soul? Or are all ants, whatever activates their life force, is that one soul composed of all of the different ants in the world? Or does each ant, that small creature, have its own nefesh, its own soul? I'm continuing to read. Rabbi Hirsch's interpretation in this, in his commentary on Parashat Noah, is that the colors of the rainbow symbolize the diversity of all living things on earth. His understanding of color may differ from ours, and we may have different ideas about the hierarchy of being. Ecologically speaking, the world needs funguses far more than human beings for life to continue. One very interesting quirk of this teaching, in Jewish lore, the color Tehillah is considered closest to God. As the Midrash says, Tehillah resembles the sea. The sea resembles the sky, and the sky resembles God's throne of glory. So if we go by this model and accept Rabbi Hirsch's identification of Tehillah with violet, the red one would be further from the divine light. One way of reconciling this derives from a teaching of Kabbalah. What is lower in this world descends from a higher place in the spiritual worlds. Here's another thought from Rabbi Hirsch about the rainbow. Its appearance is that of an arc joining the earth, the heaven. Accordingly, a bond between heaven and earth. The phenomena itself is woven of light and water. In the midst of overcast, threatening clouds, it announces the presence of light and is accordingly a reminder that in the midst of God's threatened wrath, his preserving grace is still there. There are a few things to contemplate in this essay that I've just completed reading. The day after Rainbow Day, which is the 27th day of May this year, I need to verify that date. I'm not sure. I actually think it's this coming Thursday is Rainbow Day. But right after Rainbow Day, on the Friday, is Jerusalem Day. And this is another holiday that people don't even know about. They hear about it. Sometimes the news people will discuss it. But what is Jerusalem Day? There is a connection between Rainbow Day and Jerusalem Day. Jerusalem is the energy center of the world. All of the Shefa flows into the Holy of Holies, which is in the, on the Temple Mount, which is in Jerusalem. And this relationship to Jerusalem relates to Rainbow Day in the same way. Jerusalem Day actually is relating to the diversity of the human species, whereas Rainbow Day is relating to the diversity of all living things. So let us learn about Jerusalem Day. This day, Jerusalem Day, is on Thursday night, May 21st, and Friday, May 22nd, which would make Rainbow Day Wednesday night, May 20th, and Thursday, May 21st. This is the 53rd Jerusalem Day. Jerusalem Day is celebrated as a historical event, but in Kabbalah, we never relate to historical events. We look for the spiritual cause behind the event. The physical event is this. This is the day that Jerusalem was reunited during the Six-Day War of 1967. This day is the 28th day of Iyar in the Hebrew calendar and is the 43rd day of the Omer. 43 is Mem Gimel, which is Mag in Hebrew. Mag translates as to dissolve, and that is what happened in 1967. The Klipa was dissolved, allowing for the reunification of the city of David. We're also celebrating the reading of the Parsha Naso. Actually, this week. Usually, Bamidbar, the parsha we read this coming Shabbat, usually that is the Shabbat before Shavuot. And Naso is the Shabbat following Shavuot. And Shavuot is the giving of the Torah. And there are relationships established between Bamidbar and Naso, just as there are relationships between the 43rd day of the Omer and the 42nd day of the Omer. We all understand the concept of the number 42. It relates to the Anabakoah. It relates to creation, dissolving the klipot, dissolving the mechanism that keeps things separated, is definitely connected to creation. I'm continuing to read. That is why the Kabbalists celebrate this day as an energy day that indicates the process of eliminating the klipa, the negative shells that conceal the light from anyone else. Let's discuss the historical background. After Israel declared its independence in 1948, it was attacked by the neighboring Arab countries, resulting in the Arab-Israeli War. At the end of this war, the city of Jerusalem was divided. Israeli forces controlled most of the city and East Jerusalem, including the Old City, was controlled by Jordanian forces. The Old City was important for strategic and religious reasons, as many sites of religious importance are in this part of the city. These include the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is controlled by the Muslims, the Temple Mount and the Western Wall, or the Kotel, controlled by the Jewish Orthodox, and the Church of the Holy Sepulcher, connected to the Christian Orthodoxy. On June 7, 1967, one day into the Six-Day War, Israeli forces captured the Old City of Jerusalem. This resulted in the reunification of Jerusalem as part of Israel. According to the Hebrew calendar, it was the 28th day of the month of Iyar in the year 5727. And the anniversary of this date is known as Yom Yerushalayim, or Jerusalem Day. The meaning of the name Jerusalem. Yerushalayim is composed of two Hebrew words. One is Yeru, or Yirah, which means fear or awe. The other is Shalem, which means complete or also peace. The meaning of this name is complete awe. The Kabbalists teach that Jerusalem is the energy center of the world. They teach that all of Shefa from Hashem flows through Jerusalem and then out to the other lands and countries. What does Wikipedia say? Yom Yerushalayim, Jerusalem Day, is the most recent addition to the Hebrew calendar. It is celebrated on the 28th day of Iyar, 6 weeks after the Passover Seder, 1 week before the Eve of Shavuot. Although Jerusalem has been considered the capital city of the Jewish people since the time of King David, who conquered it and built it as the seat of his monarchy, in approximately 1000 before the Common Era, there has never been a special day in honor of the city until the Israeli army took over the ancient eastern part of the city on the third day of the Six-Day War in June 1967. Shortly after the Six-Day War, a municipal unification of the two sections of the city took place, ending 19 years of separation between predominantly Arab and Jewish suburbs of Jerusalem following the War of Independence in 1948. A young holiday. Due to the young age of this holiday, there is still not much which makes it unique in terms of custom and traditions. It is gradually becoming a pilgrimage day when thousands of Israelis travel, some hike to Jerusalem to demonstrate solidarity with the city. This show of solidarity is of special importance to the State of Israel, since the international community has never approved the reunification of the city under Israeli sovereignty, and many countries have not recognized Jerusalem as the capital of the Jewish state. the United Nations partition plan of November 1947 assigned a status of an international city to Jerusalem. So you see the conflicts. Politically, the city of Jerusalem is the capital of the nation state of Israel. Politically, the city of Jerusalem is an international city, not part of the nation state of Israel. The United States has recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and has moved its embassy there. You can see the conflict. You can see the force involved. But to truly understand the cause, one has to contemplate the spiritual relationships. And one has to contemplate, what does Jerusalem mean to the world? And what does it mean to the modern state of Israel? And can they be separated? Or should they be separated? The Israeli education system devotes the week preceding this day to enhancing the knowledge of the history and the geography of the city, with a special emphasis on the unique role that is played in Jewish messianic aspirations since biblical times. Reciting Hallel. The status of Yom Yerushalayim in Jewish religious life seems more ambiguous than the religious status of Yom Ha'atzma'ut, Israel Independence Day. Following the model of Yom Ha'atzma'ut, the chief rabbinate of Israel has decided that this day should also be marked with the recital of Hallel, the Psalms of Praise, and the lengthier version of the Pesukei de Zimra, the Psalms that are in the earlier part of the morning service, or in the Orthodox service. It is quite clear that ultra-Orthodox Jews in Israel and abroad have not accepted Yom Yerushalayim, but it is not clear how many Orthodox Jews chant the Hallel Psalms on this day. To truly understand this paragraph, one has to understand the Hallel. What is the Hallel? The Kabbalists explain that the Hallel is composed of 10 Psalms. What is the secret to 10 Psalms? Rabbi Nachman of Breslev has given us 10 Psalms. They're called the Tikkun Kalali, the ultimate Tikkun. If you recite these 10 Psalms, which are different than the 10 Psalms in the Hallel, every day, you are achieving your correction. Does that mean you can continue to abuse people and still recite the 10 Psalms? The answer would be, over time, you would stop abusing people because you would take to heart the meaning of the 10 Psalms. The Hallel is composed of 10 different psalms. Learning them, memorizing them, is very significant in your transformation, in your elevation spiritually. I'm continuing to read. Israel's Progressive Reform Prayer Book notes that Hallel should be recited on Yom Yerushalayim, but not so the Masorti, conservative prayer book, which does suggest a list of supplemental readings for this day. The American conservative Siddur, the Sim Shalom, mentions that Hallel is recited in some congregations on Yom Yerushalayim. Are you getting the sense that that statement you heard for years, that if you have two Jews, you have 17 arguments? Continuing to read. The ambiguity of the religious status of this holiday is reflected in celebrations, or lack thereof, outside of Israel. While the city of Jerusalem has significant meaning for all Jews, Yom Yerushalayim has yet to obtain the popularity of Yom HaAtzmaut and is not observed extensively outside of Israel. In addition, unlike Yom HaAtzmaut, which is a day to celebrate the existence and successes of the modern Jewish state, Yom Yerushalayim can make some politically liberal Jews outside of Israel uncomfortable due to the continuing conflicts over the future of the city. Even some Jews who believe that the city should remain undivided and under Israel's control choose not to emphasize Yom Yerushalayim as a day of joy because of the deeply emotional, violent, and controversial state of affairs surrounding the Arab portions of Jerusalem. Others, however, believe that despite the current political conflicts, an undivided Jerusalem is something to be celebrated openly and unhesitatingly, a sign like Yom HaAtzmaut of Jewish political independence. A common citation in Yom Yerushalayim celebrations in Israel is the quote from Psalm 122:4. Ir shechubra la yadayim, a city that is compact together, or a city uniting all. This translation is probably influenced by a rabbinic midrash on this verse, which interpreted the phrases to reflect events in rabbinic times. And using the citation today, a modern midrash has been built on the rabbinic interpretation. The course which Yom Yerushalayim will take in future decades will be influenced, undoubtedly, by the political developments which will determine the status of the city in future times. A sicha, which is a speech from the pulpit, so to speak, but it doesn't have to be from the pulpit. It's a speech based on the teachings of the Torah. You shall be called my delight. And this is based on a sicha given by Harav Yehuda Amital, Zital. And it's translated by a woman by the name of Karen Fish. The 28th of Iyar has come to be known as Yom Yerushalayim, but in the Tanakh, this appellation appears in the context of the destruction. Remember, O Lord, unto the children of Edom, the day of Yerushalayim, when they said, raise it to its very foundations. Perhaps, therefore, it would have been more appropriate to call the day Yom Chetziva. For Zion's sake, I shall not be still, and for Yerushalayim's sake, I shall not be silent, until her righteousness emerges like radiance, and its salvation like a burning torch. You shall no more be called forsaken, and your land shall no longer be called desolate. Rather, you shall be called my delight. Chatziva. and your land espoused, for God delights in you, and your land shall be espoused. This prophecy by Isaiah in chapter 62. Although a great distance still remains to be covered, the temple has not yet been rebuilt, and we are far from the Jerusalem described in the prophecy. The return of Jewish sovereignty to Jerusalem, after 2,000 years of foreign rule, still represents something of the promise of Hetzivah. The manner in which Jerusalem was liberated likewise points in the direction of Hetzivah. Rav Unterman, the chief rabbi at the time, hesitated to institute the blessing preceding Hallel on Yom Ha'atzma'ut. But for Yom Yerushalayim, which celebrates the miracles of the Six-Day War, he instructed that Hallel should be recited with its blessing. On Yom Ha'atzma'ut, Am Yisrael emerged from slavery to freedom. On Yom Yerushalayim, we emerge from death to life. Even the nations of the world drew parallels between biblical prophecies and the events of the Six-Day War, when the very stars of the heavens fought on our behalf. We went to war because of Sharm el-Sheikh, but our victory in the Sinai was dwarfed by the liberation of Jerusalem. We recite Hallel over the wondrous salvation and the victory of the war, but the significance of the war is Jerusalem. And it shall be, when all these things befall you, the blessings and the curse, which I have placed before you, then you shall take it to heart. We must observe the ways of Hashem and internalize their message. Seemingly natural historical events, and certainly supernatural historical events, represent God's communication with Am Yisrael. This language has its own codes, just as in the written law there are zapardes, a garden composed of the peshat, the remes, the drash, and the sod, the different levels on which the text of the Bible may be interpreted and understood. There are similarly different types of miracles involved in the events that God brings about. Some are overt and manifest, like the splitting of the Yam Suf. No one can miss them. Of these we may say, how great are your deeds, Hashem. Others are hidden, like the miracles of Megillat Esther. It requires a certain level of faith and insight to perceive the divine machinations that were at work from the very start, throughout all the developments, and up until the salvation at the end. Of these miracles, we may say, your thoughts are exceedingly deep. All of these, however, may be regarded as the written law. All of these miracles came from Hashem. At the same time, there is an oral law, the sphere of joint activity between Hashem and Am Yisrael. For the line of the destruction of the temple, until the establishment of the State of Israel, Jewish history under divine providence was conducted as the written law. Since the State of Israel was established, the miracles and wonders that we have witnessed in Eretz Yisrael are manifestations of the oral law. Divine providence provides the possibility and the timing, while Am Yisrael fights and actualizes. The establishment of the state marked the end of the approach of King Hezekiah. I sleep upon my bed while you carry out. Henceforth, so long as we do not yet merit having the divine presence in our midst and the rebuilding of the temple, the miracles in Israel are oral law, and Israel is entrusted with a huge responsibility. It was discovered after the Six-Day War that the IDF leadership had predicted the duration of the war and the victory with great accuracy. They had also estimated the number of IDF casualties. Am Yisrael merited that the general staff plan was God's plan. God took care of the timing and prevented failure. The Kabbalah would explain that, what did that mean, that the general staff plan was God's plan? It meant that the children of Israel were united. And by manifesting that unity, God's plan takes place more easily and with less pain and suffering. This is true of the victory against Egypt and Syria, but the liberation of Jerusalem was a manifestation of the written law. There had been no operative plans for conquest of the city, and calming messages had been conveyed to Jordan. Nevertheless, Jerusalem became part of the war, because Jordan has not yet learned its lessons. You shall be called my delights, Chetzivah, and your land espoused, for God delights in you, and your land shall be espoused. The Gemara teaches that Jerusalem was destroyed because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. What does this mean? Is it possible that had it not been for the unfortunate mistake of the servant who invited Bar Kamsa instead of Kamsa to the feast, the destruction would have been averted? Obviously not. The divine decree had already been sealed. But divine providence produced a demonstration that symbolized and reflected the reasons for what happened later. What was exposed at that time was an instance of senseless hatred. In the period of Israel's rebirth, Hashem also exposed an image, the image of Israeli paratroopers weeping at the Western Wall. Secular people, kibbutz members, this was the picture of a great longing of secular Jews cut off from their religious roots. This image carries a profound message concerning the religious consciousness of all of Am Yisrael. In the depths of its heart, in the deepest recesses of its soul, Am Yisrael is connected to Hashem. It was out of this national unity that Jerusalem was liberated. That is the end of our class today. While you're unmuting yourself to ask any questions, I will remind you that there are two more classes tonight. One is at 3 o'clock West Coast time, and that will be an advanced reincarnation class. And one is at 4:30 West Coast time, and that will be the counting of the Omer. Our class at 11 o'clock West Coast time Monday will be continuing the principles of Kabbalah. And this will be the beginning of the discussions of the tool called binding by striking. Does anyone have any questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Since the state of Israel was established, and you were saying by the written law, could you expand a little bit more about how now it's the written law?
men, humankind, have a need to create separation. So there's something called the Torah. And what is the Torah? We have taught in other classes, and I don't want to go into explaining how this is so. The Torah is the soul of Hashem. But human beings have a need to separate. One of the separations is to say that there's a written Torah, which is the scroll of the Torah, what Moses wrote down when God dictated it to him on Mount Sinai. And there is a oral Torah, which was to be oral. It was never to be written down. But a certain human being, one of the great rabbis, was given permission to write it down, or so he told us. And ever since then, we have accepted that description. His reason was, as you are dispersed, as you are in the diaspora around the world, you will not have a unity of tradition. You will not have a unity of what is the law unless you write it down. That is true, but it lacks the faith that Hashem would have provided ways of keeping the unity without it being written. But be that as it may, in our modern terminology, the written Torah is the scroll of the Torah. It was written down by Moses, dictated by God. And there are obviously other people who say that's not true. It was written by men, and they have various theories, including different parchments that were integrated into the scroll. Again, be that as it may, there is a written scroll that has survived centuries, and that written scroll is called the written law. There is an oral law, which is called the Talmud, and which includes, or in addition, is the Zohar. And there are Midrashim, which are all part of the written, the oral law, as it is tried to be expanded and clarified over the centuries as it moves from generation to generation. Why do men need to separate between this written law, the scroll, and the oral law, the Talmud and the Zohar, and the Midrashim? If you read the written law, it says a man should wear tefillin. But it doesn't tell you what is tefillin. It doesn't tell you how to light the tefillin, how to wear the tefillin, when to wear them, which holidays do you wear them, and which holidays do you not. The written law writes that you should light candles on Shabbat. Actually, it doesn't say it that explicitly. But in the oral law, it says women should light the candles on Shabbat, and men should get married so that women will light the candles for them. Again, it doesn't say that in exactly those words. The only thing that we know is what we don't know. Written law, oral law, tradition, it's all part of what it means to be a Jew. And I hope this long explanation has been helpful.
Thank you, Hanok. more than what I needed to know. That was really good. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Everyone have a beautiful rainbow day and a beautiful Jerusalem day. And contemplate the ideas that were being expressed today. Why do we have such a diversity in the creation? And how are we supposed to unify amidst the diversity? Shavuot Tov, Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol,
shalom
thank you.
Thank you.
Shavuot
Tov. Have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Shavuot Tov, thank you.